Hey folks, we're doing another From the Field podcast. I'm with my good friend Will Haverkamp. And then we also have on today Fred Higginbotham, right? Did I get that one right?
Higginbotham.
It's
been butchered worse. Higginbotham.
Well, I think I'll probably have it down by the end of the podcast. With Mill Creek Gardens outside of Columbus. Fred, how are you today?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Good.
Doing well. Nice to have you.
Yeah, thank you. Glad to be here.
Nice little Friday before the holiday weekend. I think we're all looking forward to it. You know, starting to get more dew in the grass. You know, it's getting a little cooler here up in the north. It's
football season coming. Yeah.
I was watching that Purdue. Are you a big Purdue fan at all?
Ohio State fan. So looking forward to whooping up on Notre Dame this weekend.
There you go.
I was watching Purdue Penn State last night for a bit.
That was a good one. That was a good one to open up.
Yes.
Good. Well, you know, on the podcast, our goal here is to learn more about Mill Creek Gardens, what you guys are doing, you know, how you're kind of making yourself a little bit different than others, and then how you're tackling, you know, your some challenges, and then also your wins too. Mm-hmm. We like to celebrate those. And then looking at a little bit of outlook that you have and any technology. So I'll go ahead and step back and let you kind of give the overall view of Mill Creek Gardens.
Yeah, for sure. So, well, I'll just do a little introduction. So like I said, my name's Fred Higginbotham. I'm the operations manager with Mill Creek. I've been with Mill Creek for probably about 18 years. I did my internship here when I was at Ohio State and just loved it and never left. I got hired on at the day after graduation. Awesome. I've been here since. So Mill Creek's been around since 1978. It was started by George and his late wife, Linda. And they were both OSU. Well, George was an OSU grad, and actually Linda went to Purdue as well. But, you know, George always says, you know, he was in the right place at the right time when he started Mill Creek. So he had a passion for perennials, and that's kind of what we really focus on. I mean, we grow a lot of different other plant material, but perennials is pretty much our backbone here at Mill Creek, and I would say what we're known for in the industry.
Nice. It's a very common theme in talking with other nursery folks that I was at the right place at the right time, and you know, look at blossomed into today. Your variety of perennials, are you guys more bread and butter? Are you dabbling into the natives, which has, you know, become a bit more popular? What's your overall spread?
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, having done this a while, it's been really interesting just to see how the trends have gone. And I mean, I've been doing this long enough that, you know, there was just one color of echinacea and it was only purple for a long time, or same thing with like heuchera. But I mean, so we grow in a variety of sizes, and yeah, every year I would say that's part of the challenge is trying to figure out what people want, what's popular. You know, the natives are certainly still popular. We've seen certain, you know, natives kind of go on the downward slack, and think of like Asclepias for example. You know, there were years and years where we were just moving Asclepias like crazy, but for some reason this year it kind of slowed down. So always trying to do our best to kind of stay on top of the trends. And then I'd say a lot of that is kind of just driven by our customer base as well. So we sell primarily to the independent garden centers, but we also service the landscape trade as well. So, you know, with a large majority of our customers being on the garden center side, they're always looking for the new and color and what, you know, what's being advertised on TV, and sometimes, you know, even bypassing some of the bread and butter items like you had mentioned. So we do make sure that, yes, we do have some of the classic bread and butter items for sure, but then also trying to stay on top of the trends of what's new.
Nice. And then you're also, so then if you're dabbling more on the IGC side, then you're, you know, you're really in tune with retail ready, you know, flowering,
yes,
skins, you know, and
yes.
How do you get that info out to your folks?
Well, you know, we really preach the quality side of things here at Mill Creek. It's one of our core values that we have. And I think just naturally, as the years have gone by, with the IGCs being a primary portion of our customers, it's kind of really, I don't want to say forced us, but the quality side has been a really big focus, because there's a little bit of a different expectation when we're shipping plant material to the IGCs, because like you said, they do want to see color. They do want to see items that are bud and bloom. And, you know, the guys that we work with on the landscape side, they may not be as particular that, you know, they need something that's in color right now. So, but like I said, it's really forced us to kind of make sure that we've got an exceptional eye for quality, because, you know, that's kind of what our customers are really demanding from us, because they want to get the material. They want to get it on their shelves. They want to sell it like that. They don't want to have to sit on it. Personally, I probably wouldn't go to a garden center and buy an echinacea that's blooming. I want something with buds on it, or just bushing buds, so I can enjoy the color. But I think just, you know, as this instant gratification society that we seem to be living in, like, people want that stuff right now.
Yeah, it's the world we live in.
Yes, so the world we live in.
With you, handling the IGCs, you must have a pretty diverse logistics network too, I would assume. You want to expand on that? How do you guys handle that's a very hot topic these days.
Yes, for sure. So, I mean, we primarily ship in Ohio, but we ship to the surrounding five states as well. So, and I would say that's, you know, the last couple of years has been one of the challenges for us is finding drivers, finding labor. And I'm sure we'll probably get into this later, but, you know, making sure that we can get product on the road, you know, there. And I know we're not the only industry that, you know, is dealing with this. There's a local guy that we know that does catering for our open house here. And he owns a restaurant in the town that I live in and built this really nice restaurant. They got bands that play, really great beer selections. It's just a really cool place to hang out. And they can't find people to work there. It's a shame. He's got this product that people want. And I don't know if people are demanding. I mean, maybe some people are pounding for beer, but you know, he's got this really great product and a great atmosphere at this place. And he just can't find people to work. And I would say from a logistics standpoint, I mean, we've been really fortunate that we've got drivers that come back season after season, but some of those guys are starting to retire, and it's getting harder and harder to kind of fill some of those roles.
Yeah, that's, help wanted signs everywhere. And when you
drive. Oh, for sure. I mean, and so it's forced us to try to be creative in shipping out material. So, I mean, the last 2 years we've started shipping product, you know, common carrier, LTL, just to get some of that stuff out and on the road. I mean, again, the demand is there for our product, but sometimes there's challenges of getting it there. And so, you know, we've started shipping material on wooden pallet towers just to get it from A to B. So, and that's kind of been a little challenging on its own end. And we've got some things that we need to fine tune on our processes on our end, because that's something that kind of just came out of nowhere. You know, we're like, oh yeah, sure, we can do this. And so now we're trying to fine tune. I don't like to say no to too many things. So I'm more of the line of, yeah, we'll find a way to make it happen. So we're finding a way to make it happen right now and trying to make it a little bit more efficient and try to perfect it.
Nice.
I would say for perennial growers, racks are kind of your best friend when it comes to shipping, right? So you probably have.
Oh, amen. Yeah.
Yeah. So guys have your own racks, or do you guys work with someone I know there's a lot of options out there when it comes to folks that'll keep it organized and make sure your racks come back to you, all that. And then sounds like you've been dabbling in one way racks too for building.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So yeah, racks is like invaluable asset that we've got here. And I would say we changed over our shipping system 2 years ago, and we are now utilizing our racks for order pulling as well. Before, we were just using farm wagons. So our racks have become even more valuable to us. So yes, we do own our own racks. And that's always a touchy subject, especially as we're delivering product early on it in the spring. You know, if we're delivering annuals around frost-free date, sometimes customers want to keep the racks, and that can be a little challenging at times. It's like, you know, trying to let them know, like, hey, we really need these racks to come back. So You know, we might have a couple of customers locally that will drop racks on that we're kind of going to on a regular basis that we can just pick them up at the next delivery. But yeah, so we do own our own racks. And, you know, anytime we introduce a new size, like one of the first things we always try to figure out is, all right, how much product can we fit on this rack? Do these trays fit nicely? Is there a bunch of wasted space? And and we know which products are, you know, from a revenue standpoint, are we getting the most dollars and profit and margin in return that fitting on a rack, you know? So, but yeah, the LTL and the one-way shipping, that has been beneficial. I mean, we're shipping out of state. I mean, we're shipping product to the West Coast even that we normally wouldn't be doing. So that's been very helpful for sure. Then something that kind of just came out of nowhere.
That's awesome. It's cool to see your material.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes that, you know, the however things are going in the industry kind of forces your hand sometimes into looking into new options, right? And I'm certain, like, I'm assuming you might be using, like, are you shipping with FedEx or anything like that too?
No, we're just using a third party freight company that's kind of somewhat local in our area. And it's worked out pretty well for the most part. I mean, we've had a few growing pains, I would say, in that aspect, but for the most part, you know, it's working out well. And we've talked to some other customers that we know, or even wholesalers that we're buying from, that kind of help kind of give us a little feedback on what to look for, you know, best days to ship, so products not sitting in warehouses or somewhere over the weekend. So
right.
So that's been really helpful. And honestly, I would tell you, that's probably one of the things that I love about our industry the most, is just how open and willing people are to share and give feedback and just help each other out. And even at times when it could be a direct competitor of yours, and maybe from the growing side of things, there aren't as many growers out there as there are maybe, say, landscape companies, that there maybe there's a little bit more competition. But from the growing side and the production side that we're in, we find that our friends in the industry are more than happy to kind of share and give feedback. And I mean, I hate to use the term we're all in this together, but you know, we kind of
real.
Do.
It's real.
Yes, you're right. It is real. So, and you know, the nice thing is too, is that there's enough demand out there for our product that, you know, I think there's enough for everybody to kind of get their slice of the pie. So that's been incredibly helpful, you know, over the 18 years that I've been in this industry. It's just knowing that there's other people besides, you know, or other people in the industry that, you know, have your back.
Sure.
That right there could be just like a statement for why work in the green industry. That, like, past like 4 minutes right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Well, and you know, one of our bigger challenges the last couple of years has been labor. And, you know, for a long time, we were pretty good about, you know, we're kind of, I don't want to say in the country, but we're a little farther from, like, you know, Columbus. And so it's not easy for some folks to get out here. So, but we always kind of were able to kind of rely on, like, some farm kids and stuff. And it just kind of stopped, you know, just having reliable help. And we had a conversation with a local landscaper here that buys plant material from us, and they were using the H2B program. And hey, can you just let us know how this works? And you know, that kind of got things going. And so we've been using the H2A program the last 2 years, and we received so much information from customers, competitors of ours, just, hey, how did you do this? How did you get started? What's the process like? And I mean, we had 24 workers here this year on the H2A visas, and we wouldn't have made it through the season without them. And it would have been really difficult had we not had some input and feedback from, you know, some of these folks that we were working with to give us information and kind of help guide us to, like, making this process happen. So, I mean, I can go on and on all day about just, you know, helping a brother out in the industry and just sharing information. And you know, and now we're kind of at that point too, where we're able to kind of pay some of that forward and help other people too, as we're learning some of these new things. So yeah, like I said, that's probably one of my favorite parts of this industry for sure. It's just the openness and the sharing.
Well, we wholeheartedly agree. And I mean, you pretty much hit the nail on the head with labor. I mean, we've seen, and Will in our travels, you know, we handle a lot of the supply side. We're always out and about, and the common theme is H2A. And the folks that on brand new on it, they're like, I love it. Like, I wish I would have done it 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's and we've seen, like, you know, vendors that we're buying plant material from too. So many people getting into it in just the last 2 or 3 years. And I mean, it's not a cheap or easy venture to get into. There's a lot of red tape dealing with the government, and that could be a whole podcast too, I guess.
Yes, a lot of regulations. I mean, they make sure you're dotting your I's and crossing your T's. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, we've got our HR person here, you know, has a law degree. So she's got a really good eye for stuff like that. But it's pretty crazy, just, you know, all the hoops that you need to jump through. But at the end of the day, it was totally worth it. You know, like I said, we had 24 people here this year. The first year we did it, we had 12. Just phenomenal guys, a lot of fun to be around, hardworking. And, you know, I would say one of the bigger things too, because, you know, we were a little unsure from the culture fit, like, you know, is it going to be weird? But these guys fit in perfectly. They were like, you know, the new kids at school that everybody wants to hang out with, you know. And but the one thing that stands out the most, that we don't always see this from people that we hire locally, was the appreciation for the opportunity and the job that they had at Mill Creek. And I don't know. It was just a huge morale boost. Just one, having, you know, extra people here, but just having them come in with a really good, solid attitude every day really kind of was escalated things, you know. And it was great, because I mean, we've probably all worked with, you know, somebody that comes into work and they're down, and, you know, they're kind of like energy vampires, and they're just sucking it out of everybody. Like, these guys were like the opposite. So yeah, I mean, they've become part of the family here at Mill Creek. And I can't imagine not having them. We certainly wouldn't be in the position after the last 2 years where we are without them.
That's awesome. That's great to hear.
It sounds to me like you have a very healthy approach to it. And it sounds like it's put some good life back into your business a bit. So
yeah, for sure. I mean, we've got our second contract. So we did two contracts this year. Our guys are leaving here in about 3 weeks. And I mean, people are going to be pretty sad when they go. I mean, we're having a potluck for them. My daughter worked here. My daughter's 16, and she worked with us for the summer. And so she worked with some of the guys. And on her last day, she was at home in tears. She's like, I'm not going to see, you know, Pepe anymore. So, I mean, it's really incredible the connection that, you know, they make with our staff here. And, you know, everybody gets excited when they're going to be coming back, you know, here in February as well. So, yeah, I, you know, for people who are dabbling or exploring or looking into the program, I would say it's 100% worth it. You know, and kind of going back to the guy with the restaurant, like, he's got this vision, he's got this product, but he can't find the help. I mean, this for us, being deemed agriculture and being able to have these guys here, it's going to help us be able to take steps to move forward that would have been incredibly challenging to do had we not been able to kind of utilize this program.
Yeah, it's the common theme that we've heard out in the road is, there's, like you said earlier, there's the work. It's just, you need the bodies to do it. So if it was easy, it'd be a completely different scenario. So
yeah. And, you know, and I guess there's parts of it that's probably good that it's not easy, because you do hear stories about people taking advantage of it. But no, our guys are treated just like anybody else here at Mill Creek, whether you're full-time, seasonal, you've been here 20 years, or, you know, you've just been here a couple months. So we're under the feeling that you get what you give, and we treat our guys incredibly well, and we get that back from them.
It's awesome. It's great. Great, great company culture. I mean, that makes work fun.
For sure. Yeah. Yep. No doubt.
Will, should we shake up the crystal ball and pass it?
Certainly. it can be, the crystal ball is cloudy for some, perfectly clear for others. you know, or it's just muddy. Who knows? I mean, we like to always hear from folks and see what their opinion is, you know, for what do we have ahead? I think that's always the burning question for a lot of people in business. But what do you think as far as for the next 3 to 5 years, maybe even farther out for the nursery industry and the green industry as a whole?
Yeah. You know, I drive around, you know, back and forth to work. The amount of new houses being built in our area, just outside of Columbus, is unreal. You know, there's a subdivision going in maybe 20 minutes from here. That's like 1,000 houses. So I think there's some pluses to that, and there's probably some opportunities for sure from the, you know, people that are obviously building. Do we have the help to build those houses? I don't know. But from a landscape perspective, I think there's lots of opportunities for new jobs and installations and stuff like that. You know, but yeah, I think everybody, like you said before, is dealing with some of these labor challenges that it's causing us to get more creative and looking at automation more, I would say, than we have in the past. I mean, we're trying to look at, you know, certain jobs that we've done for 20 plus years that were, you know, done by hand, and trying to find ways to automate some of that, whether it's, sure, you know, timing on irrigation systems or updates to our production potting machines. I think it's really going to cause people to try to get creative and trying to find some tasks or jobs that people are, you know, using their hands to do, to see if we can mechanize them. You know, I think, you know, from a plant and material standpoint, I mean, the demand still seems to be there. You know, this year, I would say we certainly had a down year. I think a lot of people have kind of been in a very similar situation. And, you know, it's still profitable, but, you know, it was kind of really hard to compare after the last 2 years. Just the demand for the material was just,
that was a crazy bubble in our opinion, I'm sure, especially if you sell a lot to IGCs, you know, so
yeah.
Well, a lot you of know, bored at home and trying their hand in gardening.
Yeah. Right? And it made the scheduling and the planning really difficult, because, you know, it's like, well, you know, is the demand going to be there the same next year? And how about the year after that? And you know, this is one thing I always try to tell people, and you guys probably know this from the landscape side of things even more than us. It's like, when people want plants, like, you know, these aren't widgets sitting on a shelf on a, you know, Amazon, you know, warehouse. Like, these plants need to be put in the ground. They need to be cared for. It takes time. You know, we can't just grab this and ship it to you. So, and even more from the trees and shrubs. So, I mean, at least from the perennial side of things, you know, some of that stuff we can, depending on what size we're finishing in, can finish in 5-6 weeks. You know, the tree guys and the guys doing the big shrubs, I mean, you know, there's a reason that you can't find certain things right now, because, you know, it's all out the door, and it takes time to kind of refresh some of this stuff. And in some cases, there's just no substitute for time. It's just what it's going to take. So, but I don't know. I mean, I'm a pretty optimistic guy for the most part. You know, not to get too political, but I think when things happen this November could maybe change some things. So that could be a plus or a minus, depending on which side of the fence you're sitting on. But I think that's a real thing to kind of, you know, keep an eye on for sure. But yeah, I would say just the 5 to 10 years, I think, are still pretty strong. But yeah, I think the big challenge is still going to continue to be labor and just the expense behind the labor. You know, with the H-2A program, you know, the federal government is dictating the wage per state. But it feels like, you know, for a long time there, people were clamoring for $15 an hour. And it kind of feels like $20 is the new $15 an hour, you know? So, I mean, I just heard on the radio this morning, you know, agriculture and farmers that are producing food, that their costs have gone up like 18%, whether it's labor or fertilizer or chemicals. And things are just kind of getting a little ridiculous. You know, you go to the grocery store and I can spend $150 in 15 minutes with my kids, you know, on a Sunday after church.
And you're leaving with two bags instead of 10.
Yeah, I know. Well, and you know, and I'm sure you guys have heard this too. This is, I guess, somewhat of a concern that from a leadership team that we talk about here at Mill Creek is like, at what point do people stop being willing to pay X amount of dollars for a certain product? You know, we grow, you know, perennials anywhere from a quart size pot to a number two pot and a couple of different sizes in between it. And we ask ourselves, you know, as our costs and inputs continue to go up, how high can we go, you know, and, you know, how many of our customers out there just can't keep up. And, you know, I guess the nice thing for us is that we're delivering to a pretty wide area, and some, you know, are able to charge a certain price. Some can't, you know, get a certain price for that material. So I guess it changes, you know, depending on which states we're shipping to, how close they are to cities, and how many of them are, you know, garden centers that are kind of out in the country that maybe people are less willing to spend, you know, a certain amount. But that for me is a concern that I think in the next 5 years for sure that will probably continue to be there.
Yeah, a lot of other nurseries and growers they're in the same boat. They you know, it's that fine line of, you know, everyone in the nursery industry wants to charge a fair price, you know, the good ones, yeah, at least, you know, and, you know, everyone's got lights and, like I said, everyone's got groceries to pay and costs, yeah, going up. But at a certain point, like, you know, when's the top going to hit, and then what happens, mm-hmm, there? And then how do you have to adjust? And that's, I know, weighing on a lot of minds of, like I said, people in your shoes looking, yeah, out at that 5-10 years going, man, like, what do we got to start doing now to either find that or just, you know, prepare ourselves for it?
Yeah. Well, and you know, every year when we're, you know, evaluating how the season went and putting together production schedules, I mean, we're obviously looking at, you know, our margins per product line and trying to really focus on growing more of the ones that, you know, are making more money and kind of trimming. And especially too, is, you know, space is always a valuable commodity for us too. So if we can get, you know, twice as much, you know, profit per square foot on growing this versus that, I mean, that's kind of a no brainer. So I would say from, you know, a standpoint of, you know, changing our lineup from year to year, you know, a lot of that's customer driven, but then obviously, you know, there's a profitability side of it too. But, you know, like I was mentioning earlier, like just the cost of our inputs alone, a lot of the plastic goods, you know, the pots and the trays, yep, in the greenhouse plastic that we cover our houses with, just like skyrocketing, you know, and, you know, and we're passing on some of those costs to our customer. I mean, in order for us to remain profitable, I mean, there's only so much margin sharing that can be done, you know, and if we don't pass on some of that, I mean, we can't eat all of that, because if we do, we're gonna go out of business, you know. So it's just unfortunately kind of what we have to do to survive. So I don't know, my crystal ball is still pretty cloudy on where the top is on some of this stuff. So let me know if during some of the other podcasts somebody's got the answer.
All right. If we see a clearing or anything, we'll let you know for sure.
Yeah. So
awesome. I mean, you were mentioning technology. Is there anything else you're using in your day-to-day? It's a very common theme. You pretty much hit the nail on the head earlier with automation. I mean, at the Cultivate show, I think you guys were there. I was walking around. They had one just big aisle all now with automated tables and planters. And that's, I mean, that you're looking at the future. You know, it's
oh,
a
yeah,
aisle this year, next year, and the next, you know, how big is it going to go? Is it going to get its own room one day, you know?
One of the more laborsome tasks that we do here is working on our production line. And when I say laborsome, it takes a lot of time and a lot of hands. It's not super physical work, but it requires a lot of people. So I think fine tuning some things and gaining more automation, I think, on our production lines is certainly going to be one thing that we look forward to. You know, we do, inventory is something that everybody has to deal with, and we're growing and selling over 1 million plants a year here at Mill Creek. So There's a couple hands involved in the inventory side of things. So one of the things that we've done is we've got Wi-Fi extenders throughout the nursery that we're doing a lot of inventory on tablets, kind of on the fly, as opposed to kind of old school, like you write everything down on a piece of paper and come sit at your computer. I feel like drones at some point here in the near future are going to start to come into play. We've kind of toyed around with some, just taking some videos and posting them, showing like availability of plants and stuff. And that's always kind of neat. But I mean, I saw some videos the other day of drones harvesting, I don't know that they were apples. I mean, they kind of looked like apples, but these drones were just flying around and had like this little suction thing, and it just grabbed the apple and dropped it into this thing. So I think from an inventory management side of thing, you know, that could be, you know, something that I could see in the future, especially, you know, larger nurseries where if you want to check something out, you don't want to drive, you know, 15 minutes to the other side of the nursery. If you got a drone, you can fly over there real quick. You know, you just need to get a count on something, or even from, you know, maybe small scale chemical applications. So I think there's a lot of opportunities out there, and, you know, and maybe that's a good way too, to, you know, get some younger folks involved in our industry as well. I think, you know, involving the technology aspect of it. You know, we are an industry that tends to, you know, have some experienced workers, I guess you could say.
So
that's always been a challenge too, to get, you know, people, younger folks, I guess, passionate about what we do. I think, unfortunately, I think our industry has a stigma of we're just digging holes or, you know, stuff like that. So I'm always really passionate about talking to young folks about what you can do in this industry. And I think, you know, involving the technology side of it more and more, I think can just help our case in, you know, trying to attract, you know, some of the younger people in this, that, you know, you don't have to, you know, just dig holes or lay mulch, that, you know, there's other things that can be done in this industry.
Yeah. Fred, I mean, your outlook on everything is awesome. I mean, it's ringing true with what, you know, where the industry needs to go. You're one of the head leaders in that, with your mindset and everything going on. So Will and I, we've been across country. We've seen all walks of life, and, you know, talking to you and more of folks like-minded, really, you know, I'm going to be in this industry, you know, forever. Honestly, I can't.
Yeah, same.
It's nice to, you know, keep seeing more and more people with the same mindset to help move it forward and put it in the right direction. So yeah. I applaud you and what you guys are doing there.
Well, I mean, we have to. I mean, you're either moving forward or going backwards. You know, we can't just stay the same anymore. So, we're trying our best to just continue to push forward for sure.
You're the first or last. Very kind.
Amen. There you go.
Awesome. Will, you got anything for Fred?
No, I just wanted to excuse me, also, you know, applaud you for being I mean, you got to be forward thinking to also continue to have growth for your business, right? So yeah, it's very cool to hear, you know, what you're doing in the moment, you know, to adjust for labor needs, and then even just thinking about whether the crystal ball is clear or not. You know, it's like understanding the need to you know, to appeal to the younger crowd that's on the come up. So you have generational people that are wanting to get into this industry we need predecessors, right? Someone to come after us. So, and we need folks that are, you know, all in, and whether that includes, you know, bringing in some guys that might be, you know, all geeked out on technology, whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's all kinds of processes and things that we could do as an industry to make things easier and quicker. And then it's a matter of just tying it out with, you know, the cost of what it, you know, what you would incur to bring in like a machine to increase your production, whatever that looks like, just having it all tie out. But it sounds like you guys do have a very healthy outlook. We're really, you know, blessed to have you guys be a part of the LH family. We appreciate you guys as a supplier, And we're looking forward to helping you guys grow however we can. So,
yeah, well, I mean, we appreciate doing business with you guys and helping us open some doors to on the landscape side. Like I said, our primary clientele is the IGCs, but I mean, we also offer a very wide variety of beautiful plants that are perfect for people's landscapes as well.
That's great.
Awesome. Well, yeah, we'll hit the nail on the head. We appreciate the partnership, and as you grow, we look forward to growing with you. So,
amen. Same.
Good. Fred, anything else? I mean, we're pretty much about perfect time.
No. You know, this was fun. You know, like I said, I'm incredibly passionate about our industry, and I'm a lifer as well. And I'm very glad that this is the path that, you know, when I was 18 or however old, I, you know, said, hey, this is kind of what I want to do. And I'm extremely blessed to have found Mill Creek here. The owner, George, is an incredible guy. This is a phenomenal place to work. I can't imagine doing anything else or being in a different industry. So, it's great. I love what we do here. Plants rock, for sure.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Awesome. Well, Fred, thanks for your time today. It was great chatting with you. I think we're gonna have to do an episode 2. You brought up a lot of points. I was starting to write down that maybe we'll even have to, you know, do it at a trade show, catch up, and
that'd be great.
You know, grab a couple cold beverages and talk.
Sounds perfect.
Chat more. Awesome. So, well, Fred, enjoy the rest of your Friday. I hope you have a great holiday weekend.
You guys too.
All right. Thanks, Fred. Take care.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you.
All right.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.